It is the Ringer NFL Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Kevin Clark. It is a special edition Saturday divisional playoff round reaction show. Ryan Russillo joins me to break down all the action. Mallory Rubin joins to talk Ravens Bills. Quick programming note, Nora Princiati and I will be going live on Sunday after the second game on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook to break down all of the action. We'll also preview next week's playoff games, talk a little more about the teams that won today, obviously the Packers and the Bills who will advance. Anyway, here's Ryan, Mallory, and I with Saturday's takeaways.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice cold reward because you are a fighter and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome in to our Ringer NFL Show. We are live here for part one of divisional playoff coverage. Part two will also be tomorrow with Kevin Clark and Nora Princiati. That's going to be on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And for part one, it's just me here with Kevin Clark and a despondent Mallory Rubin, huge Ravens fan, watching the Bills take care of them 17-3. She's already bummed out about this, Kevin. I know you've worked a little bit more on these, so I don't really know. You're going to have to feel this out for me a little bit more. But coming into the game, we knew it was should have been a great matchup. The Bills, 19 called pass plays to start this one. Lamar Jackson leaves the concussion. The pick six is the difference in this one. So I think I'll start with you, Mallory. Like, what point did the hope disappear?
I was told that we would be discussing season one of Bridgerton tonight, and I feel misled and confused. Guys, I'm despondent. I am I'm devastated. I don't have a lot of core analysis for you right now, which I'm sure is what the listeners love to hear. I feel really sad for Lamar, the concussion protocol being ruled out of the game. Just a devastating way for the season to end, but I'm still proud of the team. And I don't think there was really a moment where I lost hope completely, to answer your question, because I don't think that's how I've related to this team this season. It's like I had to maintain hope the entire time because that's the point of fandom. And I'm very sad that it ended this way. I look forward to rebuilding the offensive line and the receiving core in the draft. I'm excited to move ahead to offseason planning right away. And I'm just, you know, I'm really just bummed. It was a strange season in many respects. I think when Justin Tucker missed two field goals in the first half, I started to think that maybe it wasn't going to be the Ravens' night. Tough one. Kevin, how are you guys feeling?
There's an incredible number that came out of this because, you know, it never felt like the Ravens, especially right. I mean, Justin Tucker, of all people, to miss two field goals. Win was clearly an issue in this one, just not on the field goal kicking. Yes. But Josh Allen missed a couple deep balls. Like, he wasn't even close on some of those deep shots. And then there was a Marquise Brown route up the right sideline where Hundley missed him when he came in for Lamar. But how about this? The Ravens had five drives inside the Bills' 30. They scored 3 points on those five possessions, and they allowed seven, which is the pick six. They missed two field goals, one field goal, and then obviously the pick six. So that's five times inside the 30 with a negative four net rating, which is really hard to do in football.
Wow. Mallory, it's not what you want, as you like to say.
You hate to see it, Kev. You legitimately hate to see it, as the kids say in the memes. That was Lamar's first career interception in the red zone. That's just not a thing that happens.
Yeah. Was there a part, Mallory, of the team tonight, whether that's, I mean, snaps were an issue all night, and season. That needs to be addressed all season. If you could wave a magic wand, I mean, the pass rush was not as good as it needed to be. I think LJ Fort led the team in pressures tonight. If you could wave a magic wand at anything on the team right now, where do you start?
In this game, if you had a redo, or more broadly moving forward?
No, more broadly. Taking what we know about this team, what we saw tonight, and then building off of it, going towards the future. If you say, okay, this needs to be fixed before the Ravens can win a playoff game like this.
I think the Ravens can already win a playoff game like this. And it just,
Okay.
Wasn't their night to use that old sports cliche. I think this is a still one of the strongest rosters in the league. I think that the areas to address are fairly clear. You know, to your point about pressure tonight, the change in the volume of blitzing was fairly notable and a little bit surprising. I was not expecting that strategy on defense. I think, you know, you mentioned the snaps. Makari is in at center in the first place because he had previously replaced Skura, who was struggling with his snaps. So the line, you know, you cannot just instantly replace somebody like Marshall Yanda, Hall of Famer, one of the best offensive linemen in the history of the sport, right? So that's a carry-on effect all season long. You lose Ronnie Stanley, the carry-on effect all season long, struggling with the snaps at center. The line needs work, clearly. I think the receiving core needs to be bolstered. I think that's pretty clear, right? It was one of the more encouraging things to me in the final stretch of the season, the win streak to actually make the playoffs in the first place, and then obviously the win over the Titans last week. I'm going to hold on to the logo stomp. That's what I'm choosing to focus on. But Hollywood, Hollywood reemerging, right, as a legitimate part of the offense to build around with Lamar, with J.K. Dobbins, with Gus Edwards. I'm hoping that Mark Andrews next season returns to the form that defined last season for him. And you supplement with another strong receiver, build the line. There's so much talent on defense. I mean, Marlon Humphrey is playing outstanding football. I loved what I saw from Patrick Queen this season. Overall, I feel really good. I'm going to try to look on the bright side for once.
As this game played out, though, I mean, did you feel, and either you guys take this in either direction, did you feel like, because, I mean, we can do this with Lamar every single week. I personally feel like as much as I think his improvement and the MVP season is all as impressive as honestly we've seen from a quarterback as far as like some of the raw stats, some of the combination numbers. But there's always that part, and we've seen it in the playoffs, where you go, can this guy win three or four playoff games? And I would say no. It just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. And I don't know if that's what was holding them back tonight, because they did move the ball in between the red zone numbers. There's just so many throws in there where I still feel like, but then there's the third down play where it looks like he has no chance on third and 13 and nobody else could convert that play the way he did. And so, unfortunately for Lamar, which happens to a lot of supposed franchise quarterbacks, until you actually win the whole thing, it becomes this weekly session on who you are and who you're going to be for the rest of your career. If I'm a Bills fan, as frustrated as I am about being one-dimensional, Allen wasn't great by any means tonight, but that it never felt like the Ravens were a threat offensively. Like, that's the thing. If I'm a Ravens fan, I'm watching this going, you know, you're always going to have one of these games, I would think, against a good team with the way they run this offense.
Kevin?
Okay, so I'll take this.
I have
the interception to me. No, I know. And we've talked about Lamar all season on a bunch of different shows, and I'm curious to hear your perspective after this. I was, just as someone who wants to see Lamar as one of the best quarterbacks in football for as long as I possibly can. I was a little bit shocked by that interception and by the pick six. He stared him down. He didn't see him. And it was just terrible. And it's an inexcusable turnover, quite frankly. And, you know, the Bills did some nice things. They ran 87% zone in the first half. They ran 56% zone during the regular season. I think Lamar struggled with that. I think the play calling just wasn't up to par to break those zones. And I think Lamar didn't play well enough to do it. 14 of 24 for 162 yards is not a good night for anybody. And as you said, he made some plays that were really good. But I think this Bills team just got to him. You know, I mean, Jerry Hughes made the play before the game when he pressured Lamar into throwing a bad pass and not hitting a wide open Hollywood Brown in the end zone. He had 7 pressures on the night, 2 sacks. And obviously, if Lamar has that touchdown on second down, he doesn't hit Teron Johnson in the end zone in one of the best plays the Bills have had in the last 25 years. But when I saw that interception, I thought that it maybe hit me a little bit that the Ravens and Lamar need to be they need to be much better in all phases of the game, because I'm worried right now, because Lamar now is 1-3 in the playoffs. A couple of years ago, he went against the Chargers and they threw the 7 defensive backs against him. And obviously he didn't have that great of a game. Last year, he goes against the Titans and they bully him. They go up the middle, all that stuff. And I'm worried now that, like Russillo is saying, that one out of every four times, one out of every three times is going to be a game plan that Lamar, for some reason, and the Ravens are not able to overcome. I think Lamar Jackson on his best day is a top two, top three quarterback. I thought they were going to win this game. I thought that there was a chance they were going to make the Super Bowl. Okay. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm with Russillo. He's not a good enough quarterback right now for me to say, I guarantee you he's going to win three games in a row, four games in a row against the best teams in football.
Okay. I will make that guarantee to you right now.
Thank you.
With
please. That's what I was
asking. Conviction. Lamar Jackson turned 24 years old a week ago. Like, I just, obviously I'm coming from the position of a fan, right? So my base disposition is that I'm going to root for Lamar. I believe in Lamar. I believe in the team, and I believe in the way that they are attempting to build the team and have restructured the roster around him, right? And the entire team building approach around him. It's a handful of games. That's just too small of a sample size to make a sweeping deduction about what he's capable of doing. And I think that if every other facet of gameplay and game management, right, from the plan to the execution were flawless, and the only thing that went wrong in these losses was the way that Lamar played quarterback, then there would be a more valid concern. But that's just not the case, right? Who is he able to complete passes to right now consistently? Can the line hold up? Can they snap the ball to him? I mean, I feel bad for putting such a spotlight on the snaps, but
it's awful, Mallory. It's one of the worst snap football games
when
I've ever seen.
You can't rely
one of the worst
on a clean
nights
I've
ever
snap,
seen from the center.
How are you supposed to maintain any rhythm? I think that the one thing that stood out to me a little bit was that half step maybe of hesitation when it came to making a decision.
Sure.
So that I think is a matter of, like with any young player, reps, continued confidence, right? Kev, you and I have talked about this a lot, like in the wake of last season's playoff game, which I still refuse to acknowledge as a thing that occurred in reality, how the team, you know, typically in sports, the team is going to say, you know, oh, well, it wasn't like I said earlier, it wasn't our night, right? You kind of revert to these cliches and this euphemistic language to kind of couch what happened. And that wasn't the way that they talked about it at all. It was, we're going to be thought of, but paraphrasing, as losers until we change that. Until we win.
Right.
Right. And I think that that's been really notable that the team speaks about it that way. But I think what was equally notable was the way that they responded to the win last week, so fully focused around how unfair it had felt that all of that pressure was just on Lamar. Now, of course, that's what it means to play quarterback in the NFL, like definitionally. Right. So I'm not saying I don't understand why that's a tendency that people have, but I Lamar Jackson won the MVP last season. It's just, it's not reasonable for me to give up on him. He's one of the best players in the sport.
I'm in total agreement with you. I mean, like no one has hyped up Lamar Jackson more than I have, with whether that's with reporting or whatever. My issue right now is with the Ravens organization. Russo and I talked at halftime and we said, this is going to come down to Lamar trying to make a superhuman play and whether or not he's going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that in a game like this, a winnable game against a team that was making mistakes, not like the Bills played some flawless game. It's not like Josh Allen played some
not
flawless
at all.
Game.
I mean, the score, it's already getting played out. Yeah. Like they stomped him. And I mean, the score says that, but I
and
didn't feel that.
And he got hurt.
Way.
I mean,
the wind was weird.
Right?
But
he didn't get a chance
he
to
got
play
hurt,
the fourth
of course,
quarter of
but
this game.
I think at 17 to 3, I think we kind of knew the direction everything was going in. Now, I understand the hurt and all that stuff, but I think.
Yeah,
at
I'd
this
also
point,
like to add to that at that point. I thought it was over, but anyway.
What should we. Let's make a wager right now on whether Lamar wins a Super Bowl. Let's do it.
With the Ravens?
Yeah.
And then
yes,
is
with
there
the
a,
Ravens,
is there a,
Kevin. The fuck?
I mean, you know, 7 years from now, Belichick comes in.
Unbelievable.
But to finish my point, all I want to say
loves the area,
is that
maybe.
I thought the Ravens, a team, I picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl before this year.
You know what you're
I
doing
I thought
right
they
now,
were
going to
be better.
You're doing the I'm going to play every side of the Josh argument so
no,
that no one can say I was wrong.
I'm not even talking about Josh Allen. What I'm talking about is the fact that I think that the Ravens organization was going to, I thought they were going to be better than this has to come down to Lamar. And what happened was they weren't better than that. And then Lamar couldn't do the superhuman thing. And that's what disappointed me as someone who's been talking about the Ravens for a calendar year now, who had egg on his face against Tennessee last year when I said they were going to win the Super Bowl. I keep doing this and I keep being disappointed because I just think that they're going to play better and then Lamar's going to do the thing and they don't. And then I look like an idiot.
Well,
obviously, there's, I do.
When they win, a Super Bowl, okay? And we cash in the wager that we're making right here, which is going to be, let's see, let's go with 34 Panera You Pick Two chicken sandwich lunches, okay? I know it's a favorite of yours, because that's how many points they're going to score in the game, all right? When they win the Lombardi Trophy.
Eight? Lamar's number.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/RingerNFL. Just go to Indeed.com/RingerNFL right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so before we say goodbye to Mallory, who probably has to get something to eat her feelings a little bit after this loss. Did you guys settle on the bet? Did you settle on that the Ravens
is
will
it 8
win
or 34 Panera gift cards?
It was going to be 34 chicken sandwiches, or you pick twos, right? So I know you have your preferred
meal. Wait.
If you win,
do you get Panera? Why would you choose that? You don't even, that's not your
because
place.
Because it's an investment in our relationship and this shared journey moving forward together, you know, belief in the hope and possibility of a Ravens victory. And
here's the problem
will be there with
but
us.
Here's the problem in the same
at us
in the same way that I've taken all sides on the Josh Allen debate. Now I'm taking all sides on the Lamar debate because I like Lamar. I love Lamar. I've been pro Lamar since before he was drafted. And now you're forcing me to take a bet that Lamar will not win the Super Bowl, which I don't want to do, but I will take it for content.
I am forcing nothing upon you, sir. You're the
I'm
one
taking
who said
it for content.
Out loud tonight that you're not sure
I'm
he can
worried.
Win 3-4 games in a
I'm
row.
I'm worried that he's not going to win 3-4 games in a row, or they need the bye. And I right now in the AFC, this seems like it might be Patrick Mahomes' top seed for a long time.
All right, so the bet is settled. We're good?
Yeah.
We're good. Yes.
All right, thanks, Mallory.
We're great.
Appreciate it.
Okay, great to be here with you all.
Yeah,
enjoy
you
the rest of your
time.
Chat.
Yeah, you know you didn't want to do it. But we
this was
it.
Horrible, but I appreciated sharing this time with you, and I wish you the best of luck moving forward. Thanks.
All right. I want to stay on one last thought with this before we get to the Rams and Packers, though, because as much as, you know, I disagree with Mallory on the Lamar part of it, and I don't, you know, this became way too political in a way, like the divide on the Lamar debate became ridiculous. But I liked Lamar a lot more than I liked Josh Allen, and Josh Allen
yes.
had a turnaround that I don't know the league has really seen. Usually you don't have the kind of first 2 years that he had and then turn into this. It just doesn't really happen. Maybe there's an example, but I feel like even that would be a stretch in the statistical explosion that we've seen in this league right now. So maybe it happens. Let's get to Packers and Rams, though, because going into that one, we knew that it was all about the Rams defense. We didn't know what Aaron Donald was going to look like once he was out there. We knew he had the rib injury. And the fact that it was that severe where he was in that kind of pain, where he went to the locker room against Seattle, came back out. We're like, oh, he's good to go. I'm like, no, he isn't good to go. And it didn't help Seattle at all. Normally, Donald plays 85% of the snaps. He played 55%. And I love watching Donald. He's probably the guy I watch the most other than the ball when I get stuck watching, you know, and just getting away from the line play. I will focus in on him. And there's just no way. I mean, he just wasn't even close. And that offensive line, even without Bakhtiari, is insane for the Packers. So the craziest thing about this game is the first five possessions for the Packers, 46 plays, 326 yards, 25 points. But when it was 16-10 and it looked like that was going to be the halftime score, I'm just sitting and go, how is this game 16-10 when it feels like the Packers have done whatever they wanted in these long drives and their first three possessions in the first half? Then of course they get that field goal that made it look a little bit better. But if I'm in the Rams, that spot, I'd be like, we're still in this. And then there's another moment where they're still only down a touchdown later on in the game. So whatever the score was, it was a better reflection, the final score, of how dominant the Packers were, because that's how it felt, even though the Rams had two spots there, Kevin, where you thought maybe they're going to find a way to get back in a game they didn't deserve to be in?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that the Packers played a pretty nice game today. And I think the story of the game was, if you look at the pressure numbers, I think the Packers had five guys who had more pressures than anybody on the Rams. And Aaron Rodgers after the game said, "I wasn't touched at all," or "I was barely touched at all," whatever it was. And that shouldn't be happening against the Los Angeles Rams. And if Aaron Donald were healthy, probably wouldn't have happened. And so I think that the Donald thing is a bit of the story. And I also think the Packers offensive line played well. And so I think that this was, you know, I saw Stephen Ruiz and Charles McDonald write about this, but they basically said Aaron Rodgers didn't need to be the hero today, but he was anyway. Like, that was the game plan didn't call for that. And I thought that he went above and beyond. I think that, you know, going back to Lazard and getting that long touchdown after he dropped an earlier one was great. And I think he was in total control. And I think that, you know, Chris Long talked about this on your podcast last week, and I've talked to guys about this before, how frustrating it is to play against Rodgers. And when he's smiling and laughing and having a great time, that is the most frustrating thing in the world.
You had a tweet on that tonight, right? Can you explain more of that, how that story was told you? Because it was great.
Sure. So, yeah, so I did some reporting a few years ago on this, and essentially actually Emmanuel Acho afterwards tweeted about how if you've played in the NFL, that smirk has scarred you, the smirk from Aaron Rodgers. And basically what ends up happening is that he is totally calm during Rodgers is totally calm for the entire game. He's laughing, he's smiling. The thing that really drives guys crazy is he'll have conversations with them in between plays. Mason Foster, the former Washington football team and Bucks linebacker, told me that Mason went to Washington and Rodgers obviously went to Cal, and that he would in between plays literally be like talking Pac-12 with him. And I think the player who told me the initial thing was Michael Johnson, the former Bengals and Bucks lineman. And he basically said that he compared him to Clive Owen from Inside Man, just very dry delivery and just like, you know, hey man, what's going on? And so
did you know the end of Inside Man? You're like, Inside Man, how did I not figure that out? Never mind. Keep going on Aaron Rodgers.
No, I didn't. Inside Man's an amazing movie because I did not see it coming. But anyway, I think it's frustrating for a defense to see Aaron Rodgers in total control. And that's what he was today. And so I didn't learn a ton about the Packers today. I thought they were the best team in the NFC, and they remained the best team in the NFC. The throws he made were pretty typical today. Great on play action. Great on quick passes. I think that the 58-yard pass to Lazard was the longest he's ever had in his career. I think that he was taking advantage of the fact that there were, what, 6,700 fans in Lambeau. I think he really liked that and was fed by that. So it's not like I'm coming in with some new perspective on the Packers, except to say that they kind of are the team I thought they were, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those games where even though they were up and they look, we want to talk about control and different. I'm not even going to use any game control numbers here. I like to watch football for 3+ hours and go, who feels like they're in control? Who feels dangerous? Does anyone feel like a threat? Does it feel like it could go either way? Baltimore and Buffalo maybe felt closer, but I wasn't ever threatened by Baltimore. If I'm rooting for the Bills, we're on the other side with the Packers and Rams. And I'm like, how, I don't know. Like, then I would look at Goff's numbers and I go, okay, wait, he's 15-17, 160, one touchdown, no turnovers, no Cooper Kupp, which is the most important guy other than Goff they have on this offense. Actually, maybe the most important guy. And he has a 120 passer rating. And yet the number that I'll never stop doing this, because whenever I look at teams offensively on third down, defensively on third down, it actually kind of gets back to the Ravens thing a little bit, where I go, that Titans defense is terrible and they didn't really move the ball that well against them either. But that's, you know, that's back to the first game that we were already talking about. And then I think the Rams 0-for-4 to start the game from third. So when the Packers finish 8-12 and the Rams finish 2-8, that's the stuff where I go, oh, your QB rating's awesome. You've kept the ball clean. You're completing a lot of passes. There's actually some stuff going on here. You're moving the ball a little bit more than maybe we'd suspect in the beginning of the game. But when you're not converting those thirds, this, not that this is new, but that's why I always look at quarterbacks with, what are you doing on third down? Is 3rd and 7 impossible for you? Because for some of these, especially college, it'll happen a lot more. 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, I think you have no chance. But that's where the Goff line at a point in this game, if you had just said, hey, this is what Goff is doing off the thumb injury, as inconsistent as he was throwing the football against Seattle, because he clearly was throwing the football, I thought, better for 3 hours today than he did last week against Seattle. But if you're not converting those third, and then those guys started getting pressure, and then Green Bay gets pressure on that huge play at the end with only 4 players. Goff can't take a sack on that last play. The game's basically over anyway, but that Packers front really ended up telling you a story on third down and then to close this one out.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice cold reward because you are a fighter and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
So Jared Goff was pressured on 15 of 31 dropbacks. That's the highest percentage under in any game under Sean McVay ever. And according to the NFL, that the three highest pressure rates allowed this season have been the last 3 weeks. Week 17, last week, and now. So at the end of the season, we saw it break down a little bit. And one thing we know about Jared Goff, and this is true of a lot of quarterbacks, especially you know, quarterbacks in their first 3 years or whatever, they play better when things are perfect. I mean, every quarterback is like that. But when things are bad, Jared Goff very rarely rises above his situation. And that was the situation today on Saturday. And so I was not surprised if you just look at everything. I didn't expect much of this, but I, you know, when I look at this Packers team, this D-line's pretty good. You know, Rashawn Gary looked really good today. I didn't expect that. Obviously, Kenny Clark looked really good. Just sort of interesting performances from the Packers defense. And I can't really tell right now if it was the Packers defense or the Rams offense that was responsible for that today. But if you told me what the pressure numbers were on Jared Goff, I would not have been surprised about how the actual game turned out, because I just think that he is a product of his environment, and his environment was, I'm getting pressured all the time. He made some nice throws. You know, we talk about this all the
time. Would you agree he looked better throwing the ball physically this week than last week?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yes. Debate, right? He made some nice throws. And it's part of me wants to kill Goff, and just say he's a bad, not literally kill him in a take sense.
To do this on a show. Yeah.
I want to kill him in the take sense. But with the thumb, I kind of think you have to take everything with a grain of salt in the take department here. Okay. And I think that if he didn't have the injury, I'd say, $35 million quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think you can do that because he rushed back. We didn't know if he was going to play even last week. He's tough as hell. I think he's proven that. So I don't think I'm giving a grade of incomplete to Jared Goff. And I think that even though the last 2 weeks were not amazing, and I think obviously beating the Seahawks was quite an accomplishment, I just think that with the thumb, that changed the entire trajectory of the season. There's a totally different game if Cooper Kupp is there. It's a totally different game if Aaron Donald is healthy. But I think this Rams, it was just a little too much to overcome, and I'm not going to hang that all on Goff.
I know you've touched on this because it can get lost. It can get lost in the fantasy stuff a little bit. But over the years, you're like, okay, where are the weapons? Are they investing in there? So maybe they're not investing the way they should have. And then the Jordan Love draft selection. But Lazard, who had the drop when they were going right to left, I think that was earlier in the game. It clearly was before the big touchdown. That's the drop. But, I mean, that's an unbelievable setup. And I thought Aikman and those guys did a really good job on the Moose Johnson and Burkhardt.
Joe Johnson.
They did a great job on setting up that, like, Lazard, as he goes off the line of scrimmage to set some edge to block other defensive backs on a run play, as they kept saying, like, he's doing that dirty work and that's setting up some of those stuff. And it set him up to get free on the drop that he had, and it clearly set him up to split two defenders. Like, he had two guys on him playing in front and behind him, and he was already past them because they just made that wrong step off the play action on that throw. And that's where Rodgers knew immediately, like, super casual with his form, just plopped it up there because he knew he had Lazard. But you look at him, the Davante Adams motion play where Jalen Ramsey had to carry him all the way back, and that's where Ramsey got pissed at his teammate because it's like a zone handoff, and he was mad about that. Tonyan, who's mad at, I don't know, that guy's mad at everything the entire time at tight end. So when you start doing kind of a big picture thing here and you're going, all right, they're hosting an NFC title game at home, and then it starts to become more of a Rodgers. But this team actually, it's, Packers fans already know this, but maybe for people to kind of lock in on their team, this feels like maybe not the name recognition besides Adams, but a lot of these guys seem to make plays. Different guys seem to make plays for them every week.
I agree with you. And I think that Lazard coming on is really important. I think that the fact that he had that touchdown after the drop was important because Aaron Rodgers, like a lot of great quarterbacks, Tom Brady's like this, is all about trust with his receivers. I remember being in a practice a couple of years ago, and the big storyline was that Rodgers was throwing a bunch of practice interceptions. This was like, you know, July 31st or something. He'd thrown three practices, whatever it was. I talked to Mike McCarthy afterwards, and he said, you know, the thing that Aaron does that nobody realizes is he's testing receivers. He wants to know their limits, and he wants to know who we can trust in certain situations. He's downloading information, okay? And then it ends up being, oh, this guy doesn't actually fight for the ball if it's thrown high, or he doesn't actually fight for the ball if it's thrown low. And all of a sudden, you've got five interceptions in 3 days, and the beat reporters are asking about it, right? And so I think it's interesting when Rodgers has a drop like that, he probably was saying, okay, you know what? Next time I'll hit that. And I think that's significant to me. Lazard has come on. I mean, I remember the first thing I ever remember about Lazard is I was in a training camp tour, and I was watching the preseason game. And the Packers radio guy or somebody said that Lazard had 3 pick sixes in one quarter in high school. Okay. And then I tweet that. I'm like, this is unbelievable. 3 pick sixes in high school. What the heck? And I get all these people from Iowa, where he's from, and they're saying, dude, Alan Lazard is like one of the best athletes in the history of the state of Iowa. Okay. And so the whole time I'm thinking, okay, this guy, I love freak athlete stories. I'm in. I'm all in. I've been following Lazard's career since. And I've just loved his ability because it doesn't take much. When you have Davante Adams just putting so much pressure on the defense, Lazard in theory should have a pretty easy job. But like you said, he does dirty work. He's really come on the last year or so, and I've been hugely impressed. You know, I heard the PFF guys in the middle of the week say, if you can get Rodgers off his first read, he becomes mortal. Okay, he's the best first read grade in the NFL. Probably like a lot of guys, and Goff is like that too. But the difference is on a second read, Rodgers don't really good. And he's still probably the best quarterback in football this year, aside from Mahomes. But if his second read becomes a really, really, really good receiver like Alan Lazard might become, that changes the entire thing. Then all of a sudden, he's a first, second read, third read. I mean, the whole offense changes. And I think you go from Rodgers is mortal on a second read to Rodgers is still elite on a second read. And that's something to watch for me.
And I haven't even got to the fact that they ran it for 180 yards today. I mean, Jones is always solid. He's just about 100. Williams, BYU kid, ran it 12 times. I mean, Dylan only had a handful of carries, but he did something with those. And it really comes down to this: if you're the Rams, this is not a reboot by any situation. You don't have Donald. And on top of that, you don't have Kupp, and Goff is still hurt. You're playing at Lambeau, but this is going to be kind of interesting if the Packers can pull this off, because, you know, for Rodgers to be this good for this long and have played in one Super Bowl, and we know, you know, I was talking to you about this before, but sometimes I'm late on things because I'm just not quick to anoint.
Yeah.
You know, Luka Doncic is one of the perfect examples. Like, I actually liked him before the draft. I didn't think he's gonna be this good, but after the first year, you're like, okay, could this guy really be an MVP caliber player? I'm like, wait a minute, what? And that's exactly who he was after a second season, and he's gonna be in that conversation for a long time because he's that great. So I don't feel bad on holding off. But on the other side of that, there are numbers, as we've all looked through them. If you wanted to make an argument against Aaron Rodgers, you could make it. If you wanted to point out slippage on throws outside the numbers and some of the other stuff he was doing, maybe just being pissy at McCarthy, then mad that it was a new guy. Because let's face it, I mean, Rodgers, when you are brilliant at what you do, you're not always the easiest to be around. But I wasn't ready to just write this guy off either and to think, okay, now another year older, he's going to be that much worse, because he isn't. I mean, he's playing probably as well as he has in 4 or 5 years. He's right there with Mahomes. He's probably going to win the MVP. And it'll be kind of a dumb public, like, hey, that guy, you know, he's pretty good. You know, he's always been pretty good. Aaron Rodgers. Because this is a preview. If they get through this, you know, they still got to figure out who's going to win between New Orleans and Tampa. But the way they look, and at home, and the way New Orleans and both Tampa look like completely different teams depending on the week, there's going to be a lot of, you know, that Rodgers guy. I don't know if I'll be able to handle any goat talk, because that seems a little extreme when there's still another guy in Tampa playing with his resume. But that's just, he's that good. He's that good. He's that locked in. He's been like this all season. And this is a deeper team. This is not a one-man show with a bad defense. This isn't, you know, Rodgers with some of these playoff losses. We're like, how did that happen? Because his defenses gave up a ton of points in a bunch of those. I'm not saying he hasn't had bad playoff games, but there's so many playoff losses for the Packers or the Rodgers tenure where you go, oh, wait, they gave up 40 to Arizona. So, you know, I just like to see greatness. Even if you don't like the player, you don't root for him. I didn't want to see it end the way or heading in the direction that it was. And this was, I think, just another reminder for maybe people watching playoff games the first time that weren't locked in on the Packers all season, because they had a great record last year, but you didn't feel like they were a great team. This team just feels so much better, despite the fact that team had a great record last year too.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think that if you were to make a kind of a short list of losers of this playoffs, I think, you know, Ben Roethlisberger will be on there, a couple other people, maybe some Ravens after tonight. But I think Mike McCarthy's kind of up there. Because I think we're now, I mean, last year we're saying, okay, maybe LaFleur is a
pretty good
coach. I did not
expect Mike McCarthy win segment here.
Winners and losers, Mike McCarthy's holding an L. No, I mean, think about how much better everything has gotten since he left. And the fact that it does look like that the last couple years of production decline, and there's a lot of analytics guys who are saying he's done and all that stuff. And I don't think that those guys were completely sort of, they weren't completely misguided. It was that the numbers were saying there was decline. But I think the problem was that so much of that was the uncreative offense that Mike McCarthy was throwing out there. Maybe a little bit was a supporting cast, but most of it was just the fact that the league had moved on towards three systems that worked, and Mike McCarthy wasn't running one of those. And so I just think that he was the guy that was running, he was the one guy running a system that didn't work. And so I think that just part of this, just he's rejuvenated it in the Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur, whatever you want to call it, offense. And there's something there. And now we're seeing the unlocked greatness. I think that there are probably a handful of coaches who could have done this with Rodgers, but LaFleur is a damn good coach. I think we understand that now. The defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl. And I think it's going to be close when they do play in the Super Bowl. And I picked them to win the Super Bowl, actually. But I'm with you. I like seeing greatness. I'm glad this got unlocked, because there's a scenario in which they either keep McCarthy for a couple more years, or things break wrong and you know, they hire the wrong guy, whatever it is, and we don't get this. We don't get this second chapter from Aaron Rodgers. And that would have been as close to a football tragedy as we've had this decade. I'm in on this Packers team, and I love what they've been able to do, both coach and GM, to build this out.
All right, check out all of our podcasts on ringer.com against the NFL Ringer Show with Kevin Clark and Nora Princiati. They're going to be taking over this tomorrow on Ringer. So thanks for checking us out. And again, if you missed any of this, you can check it out on the podcast feed. So thanks. Enjoy the game, Small.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.